Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to A Sound Heart Radio. Paul wrote in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3, "For the time will come when men," and the term men here is generic, and of course it is the term anthropos, "for the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine or healthy doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you keep your head in all situations, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, discharge all the duties of your ministry." Paul wrote these words to Pastor Timothy. 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and Titus are called the pastoral epistles. And so, was very poignant words that Paul wrote to Timothy. And these words are timeless. They have a timeless poignancy because we are in the last days. And Paul wrote during his time that they were the last days. So we are in the last days. The eschaton, as it is called in the Greek, from the word eschatos, from which we get the word eschatology, or the doctrine of last things. What we're going to take a look at this morning is an aspect of eschatology written, or the doctrine of eschatology, written by the Apostle John and in Revelation 20. And so, eschatology has many, many topics, which comprises both the Old Testament and the New Testament. But particularly this morning, you're going to look at an aspect of New Testament eschatology that has to do with the Great White Throne Judgment. The Great White Throne Judgment is unique. Believing ones, or believers in Christ, have already been judged. Their sins were judged by Christ Jesus in 33 AD when he died on a Roman gibbet. By faith, we accept the historic death of Jesus for our sins. His blood washed away, not merely covered, but his blood washed away our sinful guilt. And we know from 1 John 1:9 that if we confess our sins, that he, God, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We have the word cleanse there, because whenever we sin, sin leaves a wound. It is the wound left by sin that the blood of Christ cleanses. So we confess, we agree homologeo, we agree with God that we sinned, because God already knows. We cannot hide our sin from God. Please read Psalm 90. Our secret sins down here are open scandal in heaven. So you and I should keep short accounts with God with regard to our sin. Harmatia, the sins that we do as believers. No believers ever call hamartos, which is a Greek adjective, which means sinner. That particular adjective, it is not a noun. That particular adjective is reserved for those who do not know God. And so we have the superfluous statement, the incongruous statement, that some people utter, I am a sinner saved by grace. No, you're not. At least not according to the word of God. I'm merely a sinner saved by grace. The one who knows God, according to 1 John, does not practice sin. Believers do not practice sin. Believers may sin on occasion, but they are not called amartos, sinners. Okay, I am a saved sinner. You never find that type of syntax in the Word of God, in the Greek New Testament, and most certainly in the translations. That is more tradition than the Word of God. It is not found in the Word of God. So, in Revelation chapter 20, verse 11, we have these words, written by the Apostle John. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, the necrus, and this is also an adjective. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and Hades, not hell, death and Hades delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So, from verses 11 through 15, we have these very powerful words, and we have this unimaginable scene, and believers are, let me say this, believers are only going to be judged for their works, and we will stand before the Bema, where we will be rewarded for our works, gold, silver, or precious stones, wood, hay, or stubble. We will not be judged for our sin. The sin question, as I stated before, was taken care of in 33 AD by the Savior. The individuals at the great white throne judgment are those who have rejected the grace of God. They have trampled underfoot the blood of the Son of God. They have rejected grace. And so they stand before this great white throne. Symbolic, the white throne is symbolic of the purity and the eternal nature of God, this great white throne. There is no prejudice. There is nothing hidden. There is no subjective mandate here. This is the eternal purity and objectivity of God on display. A great interesting that we read him that and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. We are informed that matter or mass energy is merely a standing waveform imposed upon the void. And so we learn that there is no solid anything. So here's the Creator who the Creator is judging those who have rejected his salvation. And we read, from whose face heaven and earth fled away, there is no place for them. And this is not the second law of thermodynamics. This is not about randomness or amorphousness, the amorphousness of matter. That is not what's happened here. The place where the dead, in verse 12, created their heinous acts and works are gone. The salt flats and the salt mines where these people have buried waste from the bombs they have created. Most of them have a half-life of 500,000 years. God's going to dismiss all the stuff, the poison, and the other things these people have done to the earth. That the common public, of course, has no awareness of what these people have done. And the genetic injury that these people have done to fish around Bikini Island, etc., and other places, is extraordinary. So, John said, I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. These individuals standing before this great white throne were judged according to their works, according to their actions, according to what they have done. And so because they were not saved by grace, these individuals are judged according to their works. And if you note that after they have been judged for what they have done, these individuals are remanded to the lake of fire. And so they have no foundation of righteousness. They have nothing in their lives that God would say of them, well, then you will be in my presence forever. This is about being banished from the presence of God because of the practice of sin, the failure to appropriate the grace of God, the rejection of the blood of the Son of God in order to do away with one's sin. The seed are in it. I know there are people who believe that when they die, they will have their ashes scattered. And these people do not understand that their matter is finite, that we know matter is finite. And while matter may change shape or form, it still remains within the universe. And because God knows the universe that he has created, there is no hiding. And individuals may want to believe that they are merely physical, chemical entities, but people are really psychophysical. There is a soul. Not in the Greek sense of soul, but there is soul. And so the individual is brought back before God. The dead are resurrected, and they are given a body for their destiny. I will continue this on my next show. Good morning. My name is Dr. Josiah Rich. Have a wonderful day.